May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 236. 236. Faith's a convincing proof, a substance sound and sure, that keeps the soul secured enough, but makes it not secure. Hymn 236. Let's read together from the Holy Word of God, the Gospel according to John and chapter 1. If you have one of the free Bibles from the front of the chapel, that's page 980. The Gospel according to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? He answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose.
These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two, which heard John speak and followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The Lord bless to us that reading of his holy word, and help us in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, thou in whom we live and move and have our being, Lord, thou who art our Creator and also art the God of salvation, we seek to reverence thy great and thy holy name, that we might be a true assembly of thy people. For God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. And Lord, we would trust thy promise that it is unto thee that the gathering of the people should be, and that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that there art thou in the midst. And so, O Lord, do grant unto us that we might know that power of God that bringeth salvation, the fear of the Lord, that reverence of thy great and holy name, and that help from the sanctuary and strength out of Zion, Lord, that all things might point that thou art in the house. O Lord, we do seek thy blessing upon this people. Lord, do be pleased to remember them, remember each gathered here this evening. We do thank thee that thou hast raised up and strengthened our dear brother again. And we pray, Lord, the same for his dear wife. Lord, in due time be with her. And Lord, do remember his fellow deacon. We do pray that thou hast kindly strengthen and heal him, enable him to come once more into the sanctuary here. And Lord, we lovingly bring before thee those that because of sickness are not able to gather in thy house this evening. O Lord, do be pleased to bless the word to them. And Lord, do grant that they might lack nothing from not being actually here because of lawful detained, but that thy blessing might be through the means that we have now, and that thou hast caused that they might be blessed in their souls. O Lord, we pray for those away on holiday also. We pray for watchful care over them, journey mercies, a true rest, and that they might be brought safely back in due time. And O Lord, do be pleased to grant us thy blessing and presence to be known and felt here. Lord, may there be those from this town that are brought in and brought maybe as strangers, but maybe those that have been known and brought to be dear beloved brethren. Lord, do grant thy Holy Spirit's power reviving in this day, Lord, that there might be souls quickened into life. We thank thee where there have been those here, those that were baptized last Lord's Day at Bethel Luton. We thank thee for them, and Lord, for the blessing that thou hast blessed that cause with, Lord, of recent days. Lord, we do bring them before thee. But, O Lord, do visit our churches. Do favour us, Lord. Favour the church and congregation here. We're seeing thine offspring come of hearing what thou hast done for their souls. Lord, do grant that those in whom thou hast worked, and thou dost know them, thou know every word that thou hast given them, every grace that thou hast given them, every help that thou hast given them, every encouragement that thou hast given them, Lord, every blessing that thou hast blessed them with, O Lord, bless them with this, that sweet drawing, that they might desire to come and tell what thou hast done, and to obey thee, and to walk in obedience in the ordinances of thy house. O Lord, we pray for this. We pray for that specific blessing upon those whom thou hast blessed. Lord, do bless them. We're being sweetly drawn and to see a real beauty and attractiveness and a loveliness in the ordinances that thou hast chosen to beautifully set forth thy death, thy sufferings, thy shed blood. O Lord, do grant that there might be those that truly are in fellowship with the church here that might have fellowship around the Lord's table with them. We do seek, Lord, that those who are exercised in their souls, those that are seeking thee, those who have upon their heart a burden that lies, those who see a vanity in the things of this world, those who are being drawn to the things of God, Lord, do bless them, teach them, lead them, and direct them unto thy wounds, dear Jesus. May they know thee, and may they know the power of thy resurrection. We do seek, Lord, that thou hast helped each of us that stand in thy name to bring souls unto thee, to proclaim the gospel, to set forth thy truth. O Lord, do grant that anointing that is so vital, and do help us to speak clearly those things that we have handled and tasted and felt of the good word of life. And that those who have also handled and tasted and felt those same things might be drawn together and might find their case answered. Lord, we do thank thee that thou hast so clearly set before us that it hath pleased thee that through the foolishness of preaching that thou wilt save them that believe. And we gather this evening with expectation, not from man, but from thee, that thou wouldst work. Lord, thou knowest how easily it could have been that we could not stand here this evening. And Lord, yet thou hast enabled us to do so. And Lord, thou hast known also where there were those that thought they would never hear the message this evening and yet are hearing it, we trust. And O Lord, we would fall into thy providential hand. Lord, we would look to thee that are the orderer of all things to make these things work together for one soul this evening. O Lord, may be more than one, but Lord, do thou work and get to thyself honour and glory. We do see, Lord, that thou hast remembered the rising generation. We thank thee for the young people that are here this evening. Do grant thy blessing to be upon them, and that thou hast worked in their hearts while they are young. O Lord, do grant that they might know the secret of the Lord, which is with them that fear thee. We pray, Lord, for those that have terminal illnesses, for those that are having tests and know not what the result shall be, whether in this land or in other lands, of those we know, we lovingly bring them before thee. We pray that thou hast be with those in bereavement, to comfort their hearts and do help them through those times of sorrow. And when thou dost bring thy people home, Lord, we praise thee for it. We thank thee for it. We thank thee for that testimony of endurance unto the end. But we do pray that we might lay it to heart, and that thou would send forth others and quicken others. Remember us as a denomination, Lord, slowly getting smaller and smaller. And, O Lord, do revive us again. Do help us, we pray. Lord, as we come up this season of the year when there is the expectancy of another government, again we do pray that over us might be placed those that shall fear thy name, and that we might have the things that are being designed or had been designed to be put on statute books overturned where they are contrary to thy word. O Lord, hear prayer that unworthy though we are, we might be granted, Lord, that righteousness might exalt this nation from the top right down to the bottom. O Lord, do have mercy upon us. We do also pray that thou remember our churches as we come to the time of booking up of ministers for the next year. O Lord, thou knowest the difficulty, this church and others, where there is great gaps in their bookings. Lord, we do commit unto thee at this time that thou be pleased to be the orderer and director of those invitations sent out and the responses that are made by us in the ministry. Thou give wisdom both for the churches and for thy servants, and that thou supply the needs, especially as we gather here at this time, to supply the needs of this church and the pulpit here from week to week. O Lord, we seek this blessing for our own cause at home and also, Lord, throughout the churches. We do seek now thy help, thy blessing. Lord, do be with us, do open up thy word, grant thy Holy Spirit in pulpit and in pew. And O Lord, do grant us a true spirit of worship. Lord, may it not all be over what we may receive from thee, but Lord, that there might be that those times we come into thy house, like dear Hannah, for this child I prayed, and we're coming with worship, with praise. Do grant those times, like the song of Moses after the Red Sea passage. What a difference, what a change. O Lord, do grant that really at every time, whether it is with the Canaanitish woman who worshipped thee, saying, Lord, help me, that we might have an eye to thine honour and glory, and come and worship at thy dear feet. Forgive and pardon our many sins. We gather as sinners, Lord, so deep dyed in thought, in word, and in deed. And so often we feel so ashamed, ashamed of our prayers, ashamed of our lives, ashamed of those things that go on within. Oh, wash and cleanse us, renew the spirit of our minds. Do remember thy precious name, the name of Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And do remember those that gather tonight whose desire is, Lord, save me from my sin, my besetting sin, the sin that recurs, the sin that I love by nature, the sin that I perceive separates between my soul and thee, the sin that grieves thy spirit. O Lord, do hear prayer that thou who art the living God, thou who art Jesus who lives to make intercession for thy people, who is able to save unto the uttermost, who is able to deliver where no other can deliver, Lord, do deliver thy people that groan under a body of death and groan because of sins within and about them. O Lord, do grant that they might know those burdens taken off, that sweetness of pardon, forgiveness, and the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow within. O Lord, help then each poor sinner to look to the Saviour of sinners, to come to thee and to cast our burdens upon thee. Let thy hand be upon the man at thy right hand, the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. We ask, Lord, these things through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 983. 983. Spirit of truth, come down. Reveal the things of God. O make to us salvation known, and witness with the blood. Hymn 983.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, and the first part of verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. And he brought him to Jesus. John 1, verse 42. This part of the narrative, as told by John, begins as John Baptist stood with two of his disciples. One of those disciples we are not told about, but the other one we are. And John, he looks upon Jesus as he walked, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And we can picture these two disciples standing with John and our Lord Jesus walking, and John saying this. And when they heard that, then they followed Jesus. And as they followed him, the Lord turned round to them and said to them, "What seek ye?" What a question for each one of us here. What seek ye? Are we seekers? Are we following after Jesus? And if the Lord was to ask us, would we have an answer? What seek ye? Their answer was that they wanted to know where he dwelt. Where dwellest thou? He didn't tell them where, but he said, "Come and see." So he went where he was dwelling, and they followed, and they went with him to where he was dwelling. And we're told that they abode with him that day. Then we're told that one of these two that followed him, that heard him speak, followed, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So then the first thing he does, he goes to his brother. He says to him, "We have found the Messiah." Right through this passage, there's oftentimes which being interpreted what it means, the Christ or the Anointed One. And then we have our text. He brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, a stone. It was not until Andrew knew who Jesus was, knew where he dwelt, and abode with him, until then he goes and finds his brother and brings him to the place that he knew Jesus was, and to clearly say who he was. He brought him to Jesus. Now we know, of course, and I think I've said this before, in many of these accounts, they can never be replicated again. Our Lord is not on earth. He is in heaven. This scene cannot be replicated. But can it not be replicated that one poor sinner is unable to bring another poor sinner unto Jesus? Blessed be God that that is true. That is what happens. And that is the way that I desire to look at that before us this evening. He brought him to Jesus. Now, in our text, short as it is, there's actually three characters, aren't there? There's he, there's Andrew, and this will be our first point. Andrew, a disciple of Jesus and knowing where he dwelt. He is one of those that's mentioned here. Then we have Jesus, our second point, to whom sinners are to be brought. Sinners, to whom sinners are to be brought. And lastly, we have Peter, who was the one brought to Jesus. So just in a short statement, we have these three characters. I want to then firstly look at Andrew, and as typical of a person, a disciple, a follower of Jesus, and knowing where he dwells. And the first thing that must strike us each, surely, is how new in the way Andrew was. Here is someone bringing someone else to the Lord, but he's only just realized who he is himself. He has only just found out where he dwells. He is what you might say, very young in the way. But often you will find this, where light is first shown, where it's shown, now I see who this is, that the desire is to share that. Because this, to one that before was in darkness, one that was benighted, one that couldn't see, didn't know, they view it and they don't think, well, this is what everyone else, all of the Lord's people have been speaking about. No, they think that, well, they have seen now what perhaps none others have seen. Maybe they think, well, this is what others have been speaking about. How easy it is to perhaps think, well, you should wait a bit longer before you speak of what you've seen and what you've known, and why so early on? But you know, when the Lord begins, the very first beginning of a work of grace, the very first opening of the eyes, the first showing of who the Lord Jesus is, that is the work of heaven. That is a miracle. That is that which God has done. It's not something that's small at all. And it should be rightly valued, rightly looked upon. So when we think of Andrew in this way, it should be a real encouragement. You don't have to have a theological degree. You don't have to know all of the articles of faith. You don't have to be able to explain and answer all the arguments against Christianity. The poor man that was blind, but the Lord opened his eyes, one thing I know. Whereas I was blind, now I see. One thing. But a real thing, done by God for him. Despise not the day of small things. How many of you have got one thing? One thing you say the Lord has shown you. One thing that he's opened your eyes to see. One thing you know now that you did not know before. One thing that Satan cannot take away from you. You know, the scribes, the Pharisees, they tried very hard to take it away from that man that had been born blind. They couldn't. He knew that. But little. And yet, you know, he knew the Lamb of God. He knew what was absolutely vital. He knew that here was the one that was promised. Here was the one that was typified right through the Old Testament sacrifices. He knew what was vital, what was important. The other thing that he knew was he knew where he dwelt. If we were to ask this question, how would we answer it? If someone was to ask, where could I find the Lord Jesus Christ? Where does he dwell? What would that equate to in a gospel day, today? Would you say, well, he is in heaven? The Lord ascended, the disciples saw him ascend into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. In that sense, that would be true. The Lord Jesus Christ dwells in heaven. But he also said to them, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Also we read that though he is in heaven and he has made all things, yet he dwells with them that are a meek and a lowly heart. He dwells with his people. His people are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He is with his people by his Spirit and by his grace. He is to be found with his people. And we are reminded of the promise where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. So if you were to answer this question, if someone say, where does the Lord dwell? Well, he dwells in the hearts of the lowly ones. You don't look for the high and the mighty. You look for the humble ones. Remember, the Lord said, I am meek and lowly in heart. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. That's the type of people. And then where they dwell, in the house of God, in the gathering together of the people of God unto him shall the gathering of the people be. You think of when the Lord was on earth and the Lord was there working miracles and the crowds all came. They were all drawn to the Lord. Well, we should be very clear in this that we are to know that the Lord dwells in the house of God, in the assembly of the saints. For God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. He is in the midst. And we need to be very clear on this. He knew where the Lord dwelt. He was able to point others to where he dwelt. And thinking of in heaven, where the Lord is in heaven, that access there is by prayer. But we need to be very clear. Where are we to find? You wouldn't go into the casinos or into the shopping centres and think, well, the Lord is going to dwell here. Yes, where his people are. The Lord is there with him. One of our hymns speak of it as going to the house of God, they bring him. Going home, they bring him to their homes. It is a precious thing. But if you and I are to bring, as Andrew did here with Peter, brought him to Jesus. If you have a friend in the town, if you have someone, a loved one, a relative, someone who you want to bring to the Lord Jesus, you bring them to the house of God, you bring them to prayer, and notice this is not Andrew just saying, you go to the house of God, you go to prayer. No. I am going to the house of God. You come with me. When's the last time you said that to a neighbour or someone that was interested in any way of the things of God? Come with me. Come with me to the house of God. You won't go alone. You won't need to go alone. You'll have me with you. It's a hard thing, really hard thing for someone to step over the threshold into a house of God. One of our special services that we had several years ago now, We leafleted just our street with an A5 illustrated, just an invitation, simple written invitation to come. And we had two come from the Church of England. And they came through the door waving this bit of paper. We're allowed to come in here. We've got an invitation. And I thought what power that little bit of paper gave them. They could not fear being rejected or told you can't come into this strict Baptist chapel because they got the bit of paper. Yes, it's got all welcome on the notice board, but people don't seem to read that. But the difference it makes if someone were to be to say, I will come with you, I will sit with you, you're not going to be on your own. And in effect, this is Andrew's method. And he brought him. He didn't send him. He brought him to Jesus by example. The other thing with Andrew, even before he was going to his brother, even before he was bringing him to the Lord, he himself was a follower of the Lord. The Apostle Paul says, "Be ye followers of me as I also am of Jesus Christ." Follow my example. When he was before King Agrippa, and King Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian," he said, "I would that thou was not almost, but altogether be such a one as I am, yet without this chain." God's people should be able to desire that others have the life that they have, but not their afflictions and not their besetting sins and not their chains and not the things that they would not have, but the blessings that the Lord has given them, they would that others might have the life. Paul says, "The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." What a blessed thing to be able to say to others, "I would that the life that you live might be the same as what I live." And so that is a description of a disciple, isn't it? A follower of the Lord Jesus. Follower of his word. His word is a lamp unto our feet, light unto a path. A follower of his directions in his word. A follower of his teachings. A follower of his people. A follower of his instructions. An obedient follower. One that follows not just partially, but fully. And one that follows not afar off, but brought nigh. Our Lord says that no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. If the Lord has begun in such a way with you that you must say, you couldn't deny it, that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, make sure. May the Lord sweetly constrain and draw you to be a full follower. Follow him fully. The Lord has designed, especially with the Lord's table, and why do you hesitate, humble believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, to show forth his death and sufferings around his table with his dear people, and have that communion and fellowship with him and with his people as the Lord has designed. Every blessing he gives, every drawing, every sweetness, every assurance, every comfort, every answer to prayer is to assure a soul that their portion is the Lord's and the Lord is their portion. May the Lord draw you to see such a sweetness and a beauty in that step that draws and gathers the people of God together. Andrew is a follower. You think of a follower. Are you a follower? One that fully follows the Lord. One that desires that others also might. You know, unless we have followed. You know, Andrew couldn't say this to Peter, could he? He couldn't bring him to Jesus if he wasn't going there too. You couldn't bring one to the house of God if you weren't coming too. You couldn't bring one to the Lord's table if you weren't going too. May we be in a position where the Lord has so blessed us that we can bring others to walk in the same way and not perhaps be a stumbling block to others. We wouldn't want that, would we? You know, Andrew here, he wanted to do this. He wanted to bring his brother to Jesus. Sometimes we can be backward, can't we? I remember years ago when we first came over into this country, and our son, he was 5 years of age, and one night I had real terrible dreams, nightmares. And I came down into the lounge and I thought, I just can't go back to sleep again with these rekindle and these start to go again. And I had to cry unto the Lord and pray he'd give me rest and sleep and clear my mind of these nightmares. And the Lord answered my prayer and he gave me a good night's sleep. Well, a week later, the same thing happened to my son. And he was crying and he was distressed and he was troubled. And I had him with me down in the lounge. And a still small voice said to me, "You tell him what you did. You tell him how you went to the Lord in prayer." "No," said another voice. "He wouldn't understand. He's only five. He wouldn't understand." And I thought, no. What I had a week ago was so that I could bring him to the same places where I had help. So in that sense, I did bring him with him there. I prayed to the Lord. I prayed he'd be given a good night's sleep, that those dreams would be taken away. You know, in the morning he said to me, "Dad," he said, "I prayed to the Lord and I had a good night's sleep." He can't remember that time. And it was many years before he was called by grace. But where we have known a blessing, where we have known a help, where we have known the path of prayer, where we've had that access, we've known we've had the answers, we've come through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, may we not be backward in bringing others that same way. And he brought him to Jesus. I say this as a way of encouragement. Some of you families here, it may be that parents and children are seeking together. Your parents feel you don't know the Lord. And you think, how can I bring the children? Bring them as far as you have light yourself. The Lord gives you little light and understanding, and sometimes you might think first it's just in your head, but bring the children along there. Now, I liken it in a way to the ministry. When Joab sent Cushai to tell David that Absalom was dead, he said, "Go tell the king what thou hast seen." And in a way, every minister is to tell the congregation, is tell the king's people what they have seen. There are passages of scripture I cannot preach from, not now. I don't know what they mean. I haven't got light on them. I couldn't take those passages. But passages that I have got light on and the Lord has made sweet to me, then I'll bring them to you. Paul says that he does not preach or speak above his measure or his line. And he speaks against taking a line of another man's line of things. In other words, borrowing from another man's sermon and just preaching it as if it was yours. Paul spoke of those things. He had handled and tasted and felt. And I pray that I might always be able to do that. And not be worried about things that I cannot touch. But you be the same. And in your families, husbands, wives, bringing your children to Jesus in as much measure and light as you have. You cannot bring them as one perhaps filled with the Lord and knowing what you don't know, but with what you do know, you bring them with that. And bring, I hope you do, I hope you pray for them. And in that sense, you're bringing them to Jesus in prayer. You're praying for your offspring, your children. It's good for your children, your wives, to hear you actually praying for them and asking for them eternal life, and maybe for yourself as well. Remember what we said with Andrew about young in the way, only knowing little, but it didn't stop him from wanting to and to bring others to the Lord. The one thing he knew, and I hope it is, even if it is in the head, that we know that there is only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. That there is only one Saviour. There is only one Redeemer. The Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that our desire is to bring others to him. So Andrew, may be like Andrew then, a follower of the Lord, knowing where he dwells and desiring to bring those of our loved ones also to him and to where he dwells. I think really it's a very good advice for every seeker. You mark where the Lord dwells and you pay diligent heed and attention to being there and to seeking the Lord would bless you there, speak to you there, favour you there. The Lord has ordained it, that is through the ministry. And it struck me once reading the account of John Ashworth, and there was a man in his town. There was a very ungodly man, and though Mr. Ashworth was a minister, he didn't, and I do, when I have my neighbours, I do speak to them directly the gospel, but he didn't with that man. What he did, he made every effort to bring him to the house of God. He wanted him to come and sit under the preaching. It was going to be his preaching, John Ashworth's. But it struck me the value, value he put upon the gathering together of the people of God and sitting under the preached word. And may we have that realization of that value of that, the assembly of the people of God. In one sense, you have a little type of it where the Lord appeared on that first day of the week to the disciples in the upper room, and Thomas wasn't there. Thomas missed out on that blessing, for had to wait a whole week again. And I think some of you approve the blessing of the house of God, so you long to be there, and it hurts when you cannot. And we bless God where there is the means of hearing, even if you're unwell and at home. May the Lord bless the word in that way tonight. But may we really value that which the Lord has said is the way that he calls his people and reveals himself to them. I want to look then, secondly, at Jesus, to whom sinners are to be brought. Really, this first chapter in John is a beautiful summary of who the Lord really is. Sometimes we read over these portions and don't really ponder and think how the Holy Spirit has assembled the scriptures. Now our text says that he brought him to Jesus, but all that leads up to the text is clearly telling us who the Lord Jesus is. And so we have in the very first verse, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The written and incarnate word, the same, Christ in all the scriptures. The Lord on the way to Emmaus, that's where he showed himself in all the scriptures. And that's where you and I are to see him. The same was in the beginning with God. We're told in the first verse also, not only with God, the Word was God. So we know the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, is truly God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father also. We come before him as the Creator. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. This is the person that Andrew is bringing Peter to. He is very clear as to who it is. And of course, what made them follow was being pointed out that he was the Lamb of God. Very well known to the Jews what the Lamb meant. Abraham, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. This is he. This is the one. And then when we have spoken here in verse 13 about the people of God or those that received him, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And he speaks of that spiritual birth of the people of God. But then he says this profound mystery, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word made flesh, God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When we bring a person to Christ, we bring them to him who is truly God, to him who is the creator of heaven and earth, to him who is the eternal God, to him that is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You know, there's many in this world that find offensive, like the Jews did, that Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter's son, should claim himself to be God. Many today will find it offensive if you say that the creation was created by God and that it is a young creation of 6,000 years or so old. And they'd find offence at that. But if you and I are to bring any to the Lord Jesus Christ in truth, we must hold fast to that truth. It's no wonder that Satan is so active in every way he can to undermine creation, because it is through that men shall be without excuse because of how they are made and God's creation. It all declares there is a creator. He made us. The great and wonderful things that are there in creation. And yet man will undermine it all the time. But the Spirit is chosen in revealing who the Lord is in this first chapter to dwell upon these very points. And those are the things, if we are to bring one to the Lord. We're not bringing them to a created angel. We're not bringing them to one that did not make the world. He did make the world. We're bringing to the Creator, the former of all things, is able to create in his people a new heart, a new nature, who is able to make all things new. This is he. How clearly it's set forth in verse 29, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. A vital, vital aspect of our Lord Jesus Christ, his very name, for he shall save his people from their sins. Whenever we are bringing then one to the Lord, we bring before them not a dead Christ, but he that was made flesh, dwelt among us, then suffered, bled and died, paid our debt on Calvary's tree, and rose again and maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God in heaven. He is our advocate above. And this is really vital. You know, it's not imagining helps. It's not imagined beliefs. It is help from the Lord. It is the power of God. We believe in miracles. We believe in the power of God being put forth with the Word to do what we cannot do. In what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. When we pray, are we mindful? We're praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're praying through him. We're gaining access through that precious blood. When I see the blood in the mercy seat, its blood sprinkled, I will meet with you from over the mercy seat. And we are asking. We're asking the Lord Jesus Christ. We're asking God through his name to help us, to bless us, to forgive us our sins, to give us repentance, to deliver us and save us from our besetting sins, from Satan, from the enemy. You know, if we had someone on earth, you children with your parents, something you can't do, you can't manage, you need their help, you go to them. You expect when you speak to them, when you tell them your problem, that their response will be that you will go with them and you will help them and you will deliver them. And it's very real to you. You can see your parents. You can see what they are doing. We cannot see the Lord. He is invisible, but faith sees him. And we know through the word of God that he is in heaven and that he does hear and he does answer prayer. We have the beautiful examples. The Old Testament many times answered prayer. Daniel, those that were three Hebrews. We have many instances where the Lord appeared in answer to prayer. And we have that with the apostles as well. We have especially the Holy Spirit coming down and with a blessing and thousands believing. Thousands believing. It is Christ makes a believer and gives him his crown. It is not just by following, just by learning as schoolboys learn their tasks, the things of God. It is seeking the true and living God to do it for us, to give us faith. And we know, of course, you might say, well, I need faith to ask for faith. I need the Holy Spirit to rightly pray. But our Lord says that if ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You know, the Spirit comes as like the wind, and you cannot tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. If the Lord inclines you to prayer, and I proved this in my early days, especially when I lived alone, and to just be prompted, go in prayer, not an audible voice, but just as it suddenly came into my mind, go in prayer. And I was able to drop what I was doing, go in the bedroom, kneel at the bed, and to pray. And maybe only for a minute or so, and back to my work, then they come again. And the sweet times, the blessed times I've had in prayer, listening to those inclinations, shall I say, to pray. Don't squash them. Don't push them down. Sometimes there might not be an opportunity to, but often I've found this, that the prompting comes when there is an opportunity. And it doesn't need to be a long period of time either. Maybe know to whom we're coming. No, it is said, as unto a stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And do remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ, who we are to come to, yes, the world despises him, they ridicule him, they ridicule true religion. They ridicule faith. That is how it was when their Lord was on earth. They despised, they blasphemed, they ridiculed. But this is he that Andrew brought Peter to, the Lord Jesus Christ, the living God. None other like him. That is something that must be so set forth, and especially today, when people say, oh, you can have a faith in this God and that God, there is only one God, one Saviour, one name, and that is vital. If we are to bring souls, if we are to come to Him, we come to Him as the only name given among men. I want to then just look lastly at Peter, the one brought to Jesus. You know, there's something quite remarkable with Peter here and several of those that we read of, especially in the Gospel according to John. As Peter is brought to the Lord Jesus, when Jesus beheld him, he didn't say, who are you? He said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Do you get the idea that the Lord already knew him? I do. Certainly did. And that will be true of everyone that's brought to the Lord. The Lord might be a stranger to them at first, but they are not a stranger to him. And this is reinforced immediately after when we have Philip finding Nathanael, and he says to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law, the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, go and see. No, he didn't, did he? Same word again, come and see. I'm going to go with you, Nathanael. You don't have to go on your own. I'm going there. By example, what happens when the Lord sees him? He saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael was surprised. He said, whence knowest thou me? And the Lord said that before even that Philip called him, when he was underneath the fig tree, which you couldn't see someone there if they were under a fig tree and walked by, the Lord had seen him where man could not see him. And that was enough. Now his answer then, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And was not this the same when we go four chapters along? You go to chapter 4 and we get the woman at the well of Samaria. The one thing she knew about Messiah is that when he came, he shall tell us all things. And the one thing he began with her, when she wanted eternal life, when she wanted those living waters, he said, go and call her husband. He touched upon the one thing that she had to say, I have no husband. He said, thou hast truly said thou hast no husband. Thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now hast is not thine husband. Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And she says, come see a man that told me all. And again, that same language, she goes to Samaritans. She doesn't say, go see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Come see a man that all told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? He told her that he was the Christ. But she didn't tell them that. She said to them, this is what he told of me. He knows me. And you know there will be that in the Lord's dealings, in the ministry, how many have said to a deacon perhaps, you've gone and told the minister about me. He wouldn't have preached like that if you hadn't have told him. And the deacon said, no, I didn't say anything. He didn't know. How many have felt that? The Lord has searched them out through the ministry because the Lord knows about them. And the Lord has caused his servants to enter right into their path and to speak those things that discovered them. Sometimes it is in providence as well. The Lord brings it to be so that we are persuaded that the Lord does know us. And he says in John 10, doesn't he, that he knows his sheep and am known of not mine. In due time, his sheep will be brought to know him. But firstly, he knows them. And What a blessed thing that we are brought to know the Lord. Well, what of this then? Peter, one brought to Jesus. Put yourself in this position then. Perhaps someone else has directed you to the Lord, to Jesus. Or you're coming into the house of God, or you're coming in the path of prayer. And may we know this, that unseen, the Lord is working, drawing a people to himself. None come except the Father draw. And that in an imperceptible way, but is a blessed thing. If, like Peter, when Andrew pointed him that way and said, come, he followed him. Right from the very beginning, the Lord may use, and I know some people have been tried when they think, well, have I really been called by grace because it was my wife or husband that was used to bring me under the sound of the truth? Well, Peter could have said, well, have I really been chosen because it was my brother that brought me here? And yet there are those other things that really seal it as being the Lord's work. Another one comes to mind, you know, with Zacchaeus. Curiosity. That's what you might say brought him to see Jesus, who he was. But when the Lord stops and calls him down from the tree, he says that he must dine with him that day. The Lord had plans that Zacchaeus didn't know of. But Zacchaeus was at the place where the Lord would have him to be. And the Lord knows how to make you be where you should be tonight, where I should be tonight, and where the Lord has appointed the word to be heard. It is the Lord's work to do that. May we count it a blessing if in this situation we're in Peter's shoes, that we're being brought to the Lord. Maybe when prayers have been offered up, even in the sanctuary, you felt this, I've been brought before the Lord. I've been brought before him. My case has been mentioned. It's been brought before the Lord. Well, may we know with dear Peter what a follower he was, what a blessing he was later made, how the Lord used him, how he loved the Lord. Yes, how he denied his Lord, but how he restored, and how his Lord prayed for him. And we read of the beginnings here. Andrew, he brought him to Jesus. May that persuasion be with us here that we have been brought to Jesus by divine grace, by God's mercy, by his purpose, for his honour and glory and our eternal comfort and joy to know the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Stephen Hyde will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Fred Ince on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 346, 346. A sovereign protector I have, unseen yet forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. He smiles, and my comforts abound. His grace as the dew shall descend, and walls of salvation surround the souls he delights to defend. Hymn 346.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.